up here on the, yes, it will. There we go. Awesome. So I'll do the leader part and we'll do all. All right. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. How he led you out of slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey. A land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. A land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. But when you've eaten your fill, when you've become prosperous, built fine homes to live in, when your flocks and herds have become large, your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, take care. Take care that you don't become too proud. Look what I've accomplished all by myself. That you don't become so full of yourself and your achievements that you forget the Lord your God, from whose hand all these good things come. Instead, remember, it's the Lord your God who freed ye from slavery in Egypt, who led you through the wilderness, who gave you water to drink when there was no water, who fed you with manna when there was no food, and led you to this land of and who gives you the strength to earn a living. So praise God for what you've been given. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation. Amen. Amen. In our reading from Colossians this morning, in the same vein, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it is that time of year, of course. Thanksgiving is looming just ahead. And wondering, how many have already purchased your turkey? Yeah, you're ready. You're ready. I love Thanksgiving. I think, you know, all the different holidays are great. There's different traditions and such. There's something for me about Thanksgiving. The pace of Thanksgiving, the food of Thanksgiving, the gathering, it's just one of my favorites. But it's interesting trying to enjoy Thanksgiving, trying to enjoy just getting ready for Thanksgiving, isn't it? Because the minute you've walked into a store lately, be it a grocery store, retail operation, a restaurant, anywhere, do you see much about Thanksgiving? Not really. We see already Christmas, right? We have this tendency, at least in American culture it seems so far, to sort of give a nod to Thanksgiving and skip and just move on, right? I was struck by an article I read in Christianity Today online this week. Writer Tracy Bianchi, she says this: what is it about our culture that can crash so quickly through a holiday like Thanksgiving? We seem to be more inclined to look toward what we still lack rather than what we already have. Cultural ADD or some other consumer coma sweeps over me, and I'm over it. I'm suddenly bored with pilgrims and ready to move on to the next event, Christmas, or for many, the 4 a.m. doorbuster events, right? Yeah. I think she speaks for most of America. It's like, yeah, Thanksgiving, it's nice, but I'm ready to move on. And I want to say, let's pause. Let's take a moment and stay here in Thanksgiving. We'll get to Advent and Christmas, and indeed, lots of preparations already going into all that. But this morning, as we look ahead towards the Thanksgiving celebration of the week, I want to take a pause and reflect a little bit on the core of Thanksgiving, the celebration itself, and the core of our scriptures this morning, gratitude. Gratitude. Giving thanks, recognizing God's goodness in our lives. It's at the heart of our scriptures, and it's throughout the scriptures. It seems to be at the heart of Christian life, gratitude. And so I want to share some insights about that today. And I also want to encourage you to do something. And I recognize that in any given moment during a sermon, you may or may not be tracking with me, right? I get it. I'm there too. It's all right. I mean, I'm tracking with myself most of the time, but I get when I'm listening, when I'm sitting there where you are, sometimes I'll be listening and then I won't, and my mind will be wandering, right? So here's what I'd love to encourage you to do. If your mind wanders, and it's okay, because our minds will wander. We have this banner up here, right? It says, give thanks. I want to encourage you, in your bulletin, there's some space in the margins and such. Maybe you've got something near you to write with. If your mind starts to wander, perhaps it will at least wander to that phrase, give thanks. And then maybe your mind will wander a little bit into what could I give thanks for? And I would encourage you just to perhaps jot in the margins words of what you are thankful for today. A warm sanctuary on a cold day. Woohoo! Yes, the heat's working. Give thanks. Or maybe it's the fact that the turkey's in the freezer. You've already taken care of that. Yay. One shopping list item down. I don't know. Maybe it's just the reality that you have life. You get to breathe today. Give thanks. I just want to encourage you, at any moment throughout, just be jotting those down. There's something about recognizing what we are thankful for and noting it, that it encourages gratitude to keep going. So that's a little aside. Just hope you can, if you need to, your mind's wandering somewhere, go ahead and do that. Encourage that. All right. Well, some observations about gratitude that I want to share this morning, and some of this connected with some different social psychologists looking at different Christian authors. First observation, gratitude flows from recognizing God's presence and God's goodness in our lives. And so I want to unpack that a little bit. What is it all involved in gratitude? What's necessary for gratitude to happen? And it turns out there are people who really study this. And so a man named Robert Roberts, he was a professor here at Wheaton for about 15 years. Now he's a visiting scholar at Baylor University right now. He says there are sort of, as he puts it, three B's to gratitude, if you will. And each of these B's are connected to the word bene, all right? Bene, that Latin word meaning what? Good, all right? Even if we don't know much Latin, we might know that, all right? Bene means good. And so he's got three benes, if you will, right? Three benes connected to gratitude. The first one is that gratitude always involves a benefit. It's pretty obvious to see. There's always something given. To be grateful, I have to receive something and receive it as a gift and understand it as a gift. And here's the thing about gratitude. Gratitude is a perspective. It's a worldview. It's an understanding of our life. And so it starts with understanding we've been given something, and it's a gift. We had it in Psalm 100 in our litany this morning. The psalmist reminding the Israelites of their history, what they were given as a gift, the benefit they received from God. Remember, the Lord your God, what did he do? Freed you from slavery, led you through the wilderness, gave you water to drink, fed you with manna, led you to the land of abundance, and gives you strength to earn a living. You've been given all these benefits, so praise God. Be thankful. Gratitude is grounded. Grounded in that recognition that God has given us these amazing benefits in life, that we have been freed. Freed from sin. Our history of brokenness. That we've been led through wilderness in our lives. We've been fed, given life-giving water when we're thirsty. We are given strength each day. We have all these benefits to receive. Our lives are chock full of good things. We've got all these benefits. And when we recognize all this, maybe you're jotting some of those down in the margins right now. We recognize the good gifts that we've been given, and they are gifts. Gratitude flows. Now, another Benny of gratitude. Maybe you figure this one out. Gratitude always involves a benefactor, right? Someone who gives the good. Someone who gives the benefit. That's pretty simple to see. One who does good for us on our behalf. To be grateful, we have to believe that we aren't just getting something randomly. It's not just an accident. But there's someone with good intent behind the gift. Not someone with evil intent. Not someone who's trying to manipulate or get something from us. But somebody who's just generous, desires the best for us. First church I served in as a youth director many years ago in California. Remember one Christmas, a Christmas card showed up along with lots of other Christmas cards. And in it was a cash gift. Crisp $100 bills. Whoa! And this was a long time ago. Carlene and I were a young couple just struggling financially to make it. And this was some family in the church. We didn't know them that well. And they sent this gift. It was unexpected. We hadn't earned it. We hadn't done anything for it. And here it showed up as this wonderful benefit. And all of a sudden we knew we had a benefactor. We had somebody who was looking out for us and who could read between the lines and understood that, you know, we were just scraping by. And so this gift was, wow, huge. Was there gratitude? Oh, you betcha. Because that's how gratitude works. It involves a benefit and a benefactor, somebody's giving the good to you. To be a grateful person, you have to believe that God is our great benefactor. See, that's why it's a perspective, it's a worldview. See, if you don't believe in God, if you don't have this sense that there is this generous, good God around us that is giving us this gift of life, then why would there be any gratitude? Be a grateful person, to understand God's intention is good, for us to thrive and to rejoice and to delight in this world. That's what God's up to. Our passage in Colossians, verse 16, how did it read? It said, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." It's grounded in gratitude because of the study of the scriptures, that the word of Christ dwell richly. Its encouragement is to say, the more we study the scriptures, the more we understand God's story, the more we see God as the great benefactor in our lives, God's good and generous intention for us, and so we can celebrate and say thank you. The third Benny. So let's see, our first Benny so far involved, gratitude involves what? Benefits, right? And then gratitude involves a benefactor. Okay, good. What do you think the third one is? Another Benny. Right? Benny something. Benedict Honorable, Benedict Eggs, no. Something that's beneficial, absolutely. It involves a beneficiary. Yeah. Somebody who's receiving the gift, right? There could be a gift just left out, but if nobody ever receives it, then there's no beneficiary. Who's going to be grateful? Has to be a beneficiary. And that's you and I, right? somebody who receives the gift. And of course, each of us gets to be the beneficiary of God's generosity, God's goodness and mercy. But there's this challenge to gratitude for us as the beneficiaries, is that for there to be real gratitude, there has to be a certain amount of humility in our lives. And so, another observation, I think, is that gratitude grows in humility. Let me flip it. If you're not humble, if we sort of believe what we receive is something we're entitled to, then there's not necessarily gratitude flowing for that. If I put in my 40 hours a week, or 50, or 60, or 70, whatever our week looks like, we expect the paycheck we receive. We've earned it. We did the work for it. So not necessarily much gratitude involved there. But if there's a gift, there's something given, and I didn't earn it, it's just given. It's just generosity. Oh, I can in humility say, thank you. It's so good. There was the craft fair yesterday. How many of you got to stop by and enjoy that? Yeah, it was bustling. It was great seeing all the variety of creativity and the crafters and vendors that were here. I was here early on in the morning, and my daughter Annika was looking around at different things, and there's this one lady who had scented candles and such. And as she looked at it, she decided to just give her one of her candles. Now she said, well, it's the last one I've got of this particular scent, chocolate. Oh, chocolate smelling candle. Who knew? Smelled it. Smelled like chocolate. But she just gave it to her, probably because she's a cute 13-year-old girl who, you know, was looking at stuff. And I thought it was a lovely gift. She didn't have to give it to her. She did. And it sort of brings on that, oh, gosh, thanks. You're just sort of humbled by it when you recognize generosity, goodness like that. Gratitude grows in humility. But of course, we struggle with this one because as sinful people, in our own brokenness and our own sort of self-centeredness, more often than not, we sort of have this sense of entitlement, as if the things we have, well, of course we do. We should have these things, right? We begin to see some of this to rear up in some of those frivolous lawsuits you hear about, right? And you think, what? How could people sue over something like that? I heard years ago, San Francisco Giants, my favorite baseball team, it was one of those special giveaway days, right? It was Father's Day. So they were giving away a certain baseball cap to fathers. Somebody sued them. Said, well, that's not right. Why can't I have a hat, even though I'm not a father? Well, come on. It was just a gift. They decided they were going to give it to fathers. I'm sure on Mother's Day they'll give something to mothers and everything. But it just seems frivolous. It seems like there's a sense of entitlement. Well, if they get a hat, why don't I get a hat? Darn it. Right? There's no humility there to say, oh, thank you. It's nice. You gave something you didn't have to. We appreciate that. That sort of pettiness has a word in the Bible. It's grumbling. Right? Grumbling. It seems to be a word that characterizes the Israelites as they're coming out of Egypt, as they're making their way along in the Exodus. It seems to be what Moses struggles with time and time again with the people as he's leading them. It's like, this amazing miracle has happened. God has freed you, brought you out of Egypt, and we are going to the promised land. Right? We read about it in our scripture this morning. A land flowing with milk and honey, a land of prosperity, land rich in crops. Oh, we're going to this great place. And what do the Israelites continue to do? Grumble. Oh, why do you have us out here, Moses? This is awful. We should just go back and be slaves again. Why? It's taking so long, Moses. Can't this be faster? This is sort of like our kids on those road trips, right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We have an amazing journey. The destination will be wonderful. Just wait. It's okay. Grumbling. Grumbling seems to be our default mechanism, doesn't it? And if we're grumblers, if we're complainers, this kind of shuts us off from gratitude. It shuts the door because it puts us in a position of entitlement. Like, this should be better. Everything's wrong. And if you think about, if you know people who are grumblers, maybe right now there's somebody you picture who, whenever you're around them and they have this sort of complaining spirit, that grumbling heart, they're your favorite people to be around, right? No. Oh, gosh, no. These are the people you avoid. These are the people you see walking down the office hallway and you think, turn around, go the other way. This is not good, right? I don't want to be around grumblers or complainers. Grumbling sort of shuts off the spirit from one another. Grumbling puts up walls and makes us smaller people. Gratitude, on the other hand, gratitude leads to blessing. Another one of our thoughts this morning. Gratitude leads to blessing. Think about the people you appreciate the most, the people you love being around. They are thankful people. People with big hearts and who look around and say, thank you for so much. I love the experiment this morning, Jill. You send the kids home. Thanks for this, God. Thanks for that, God. Thanks for that, God. That would be so fun. That got infectious in a family, right? It's a good reason why when you gather for meals, say a prayer. Grace is really a prayer of thanks. Thank you, God, for the food before us. To root ourselves in gratitude and thanksgiving, that will create in us blessing. That opens us up to recognizing all the goodness God has given us in it, and then it makes for more and more blessing. Interesting, there's a lot of psychological research around gratitude. There's a man named Robert Emmons who's touted as one of the sort of key researchers and psychologists in the field of gratitude. I bet you didn't even know there was a field of gratitude, right? I didn't either until this week. Found that he's been doing research and study in gratitude for a while. He's at the University of California, Davis. He, in fact, says, gratitude has the power to heal. Physically, to heal, to energize and change lives. And he's not making this up as a psychologist who says, I think it's a positive thing. They've done research. Their most recent study they did with about 1,000 people from 8 to 80. And essentially what they did was they had them practice gratitude. They had them keep a gratitude journal, sort of like you've begun this morning if you're jotting down little things you're thankful for in your bulletin. And he said, had them do that for 3 weeks and then tracked their life for a while longer. And here's what they found. The people who practice gratitude consistently reported stronger immune systems, were less bothered by aches and pains, had lower blood pressure, exercised more, took better care of their health, slept longer, felt more refreshed. These are just some of the physical benefits, the healing benefits of gratitude. Psychologically, they had higher levels of positive emotions, were more alert, alive, awake, felt more joy and pleasure in life, were more optimistic. And socially, they were more helpful, more generous, more compassionate, more forgiving, more outgoing. The gratitude leads to blessing, and it's not just a nice sentiment. It's not just happyology, as one author wrote. The research is discovering how God has wired us for the soul to shout out, yes, thank you. Thank you, God. We are wired for gratitude. And when we express it, when we recognize God's goodness and God's presence in humility, and we express that thank you, it changes us. It heals us. It energizes us. And then it brings blessing to those around us. That's pretty powerful to imagine, isn't it? A simple act of gratitude. Thanksgiving. Not just on Thanksgiving Day. That's a no-brainer, right? That's easy. Yeah, the pilgrims did it. We do it. Yay! What are we thankful for today? Awesome. But to imagine that practice going on day by day, whether it's in a gratitude journal, prayer journal you keep. I was thinking it might be fun in a house to put up a whiteboard or a blackboard or something, and just daily, you go out in the morning, you come back, just to write a few words. What are you thankful for today? Eggs. Yay. Sunshine. Absolutely. 45 degrees. After a 30-degree day, right? I mean, you can find it everywhere, but it's a perspective. And yes, there are things that are hard in our lives. There are things in which we struggle and wrestle with that are obvious crises. And it's not to say, well, thanks for that crisis either, but to recognize in the midst of those hard times, in the midst of those crises, that God is with us, and we can be thankful for that. We're not abandoned, but we are journeyed alongside with by God. We can be thankful. There can be gratitude day by day, and if there is, it will lead to blessing. These are just some thoughts about gratitude today. I want to leave you, though, with a video that I found a few years ago that I found helpful about gratitude. It's about 5 minutes long. You can look it up on YouTube and watch it again later, but I wanted to show it this morning. It's the voice you hear is from a Benedictine monk. And he's saying some of what I've said this morning, and it's coupled with different images of nature and people. And I can't watch it and not be moved. Because that's the nature of gratitude. When you really stop and think how much God has given, gratitude flows. Take a look.
John, if you want to turn the lights off, that'd be great.
Thank you.
recognizing indeed that we have been given this good day, we respond. We respond to God's goodness, God's gifts,